Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode of the Scott McKenna Podcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic wherever you're listening to this, whether it's on your way to work, whether you're walking the dog, whether you are baking a cake, doesn't matter. But I just appreciate you listening, and I hope this is valuable to you. Recently, I had the chance to be a part of what is called the Startup Grind Lehigh Valley, which is actually like a nationwide startup grind sponsored by Google. And it is hosted in different cities all over the country. And I was asked to be the fireside chat speaker for it. It was just a really good opportunity to sit down with Stan, who hosted it, and get some interaction with people that were actually at the event and just talk and answer some questions and talk about my journey a little bit. And because I'm passionate about doing that, I figured maybe it would be valuable to just share this entire conversation with you. I posted about a 20-minute excerpt of it on my YouTube channel, but this is more of just a raw, unfiltered sound bite so that you could understand exactly what we were actually talking about and listen to the whole thing. Maybe that's valuable to you. So here it is, without further ado, unedited. This is the whole conversation from the fireside chat, and I would love to get your thoughts. As always, connect with me on Twitter at Scott W. McKenna and tell me what you think.
The short story is I have a video production company. So I have a lot of different things that I do that all push to what I really do, which is the video production company. So you might have saw that YouTubers in there as well. I don't consider myself a YouTuber, but I do a lot of YouTube stuff to push people to what I actually do as a whole. But I started my video company in 2013, and then I went full-time into it in early 2017. And that's when I started doing the YouTube thing really, really hard, but just building a personal brand to build what I actually do from a video standpoint. So that's why that's recording. That's why anytime you see me anywhere, there's always a camera, and I always have mics attached to me because it always gives me content, which I'll talk about, which is so important, to use for whatever I want to use it for. And it's been huge for my business. So long story short is I used to play music full-time before I was into video production full-time, so I always carried around a camera with me all the time, filming stuff, editing stuff, because I wanted to put together videos for myself, just to kind of remember the trips that I went on. And then I started liking it more and more, and I moved out to Arizona for 3 years, from 2010 to 13. Came across a company that was doing some video stuff, and they were doing really well with it out there, and I was like, I can do that. That's not very hard what they're doing, because I understood camera stuff. So I was like, I'm going to do that. And so I moved back to Pennsylvania about 3 months later after that and started my business, and then worked 3 years building it up while I had a full-time job. And then went full-time in 2017, and then that's where I'm at today.
Yeah, that's great, and that's something I want to hear a lot more about because, you know, I've talked with, I think, everyone in the room here, and I'm in the position right now where I'm, you know, working full-time, mm-hmm. running a business on the side. So what was that transition like? Take us through the process of, you know, going from making the decision to say, okay, it's time to go full-time, mm-hmm. and some of the things that happened through that.
Yeah, I mean, it came down to I either had the decision to be okay with the job I was at, which I loved. It had nothing to do with not liking the job as much as I looked at what do I want to do 10 years from now, 15 years, 20 years from now, and it wasn't what I was currently doing based on the time that I wanted to have for family, for traveling, for different things. I wanted flexibility in my schedule, and the only way to have total flexibility in your schedule is to make it. And so I decided the only option I had was to go full-time into my company, and so the only way that was going to be possible was for me to work as much as possible with every minute of free time I had outside of my full-time job. So for 3 years, it looked like I worked 9 to 5, and then I worked 6 to midnight every day. So 9 to 5 was my job, and I came home, ate dinner, and did the video stuff. And I built and built and built as much as I could, realizing that it was short term, that I was going to be working 90, 100 hours a week. I was okay with it because I had goals to do something bigger than what I was doing. And that's really what it comes down to. I feel like a lot of people are really close to being able to, or I should say even are able to go full time and do it, but it's a short-term sacrifice. Like, you have to be okay with realizing you can't decide to go full-time and then start working hard when you get there. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, you either have to realize, I need to go full-time, so I need to sacrifice something until I can make that happen, which to most people is time. And, like, time is everyone's most valuable asset. At the end of the day, more people, if you gave someone an extra hour of time in a day, they'd take it before money half the time. But you don't get that. Like, we all have the same exact 24 hours, and I think a lot of people like to use the excuse of that they're really busy, but they just spend a lot of time doing stuff that doesn't actually produce anything.
Right.
So they, you know, they spend all weekend enjoying their time and relaxing, which is great. Like, there's nothing wrong with doing that, unless you're the person complaining about wanting to go full-time and you're not doing anything to try to make that happen.
Yeah, and, you know, busy is a choice, really, mm-hmm. you know. What are you busy with? Mm-hmm. Are you busy working on, you know, your business? Are you busy, you know, catching up on your Netflix show, which
yeah.
I get guilty of myself?
Binge watching the whole yeah. thing of Game of Thrones over the weekend? Like,
yeah.
it's
yeah. And when it does come to Game of Thrones, I have been guilty of that. I'll admit it. But so, walk me through. So, let's say Tuesday, you're still in your full-time job, mm-hmm. running the business on the side, and you say tomorrow's the day. What was that first day like? What were some of the challenges in that first day going full-time?
So when I actually went full-time or when I decided I was going to go full-time?
When, let's go both. So
okay.
let's say when you decided first and then that first day when you were actually full-time in your business, what were
yeah.
some of the challenges?
I mean, the only challenge to me when you start is that it's always going to feel like an impossible thing to a point because you're going to feel like, I really, really want to do this. There's a lot of people that really want to do something. They have a passion for something. But they look at it as, I'd have to do this, and this to just barely be able to make the same amount of money. And right then they lost. Like, they lose because they right away have put all these obstacles that they can't achieve in their head. And then they're in trouble. Like, if you're not your own biggest supporter in the first place, you have no chance.
Yeah.
And so to me, it was easy. It was just a matter of knowing I had to just work a lot, which I have a wife who will be married 10 years next year. And she knows that I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. Like, she knows that I love work. I love doing work. It's a balance that I fight now, having a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. But she knew also that the only way for us to have the flexibility with her family being a West Coast-based family and us being East Coast, that I'd never have the flexibility to be able to travel to actually be around her family and enjoy that time if someone else was giving me 2 weeks a year vacation. Like, that wasn't going to exist. And last year, we were able to do a month and a half trip around the country to visit all her family only because of the flexibility we have now. And that's why she knew, like, she was okay with realizing, hey, we can. Dave Ramsey has this amazing quote. It's more about money. I live with it by life. It's live like no one now, so you can live like no one later. Which is, he does it about money. Like, mm-hmm. be cheap now if you have to get out of debt, and save them with business. Like, I'm okay working a ton now, so that when my kids are older and they, you know, they're young now. I don't say they don't need me right now, but like, they're young enough that this time is less important with the bonding than when they really start to, mm-hmm. like when I want to go to every dance recital and every T-ball game. It's not going to be possible if I'm working that much then. So it's kind of like the last 2 years have been work as much as I possibly can while still balancing it, and so that it can be possible.
Yeah.
But so it was easy for me to think about going into it, and then I planned enough time to know. I made the decision in December of 2016 that I was going to go full-time in May of 2017, meaning I told, I was working at a church at that time, so I told them, I said, I'm going full-time, I want to help you guys make the transition, so over the next 6 months, like, I'll help put people in place so that it's not a problem when I leave, but, like, that's what I'm doing. It wasn't about if you pay me more, I'll stay. It was, there's no raise you can give me, there's no money you can give me that make me stay. So let me just help you in any way I can to make the transition possible. So having that much planning, it wasn't like I just decided, you know what, I'm done with this job, I'm going full time. So when I started in May, I had business, I had stuff happening because I kind of planned for it. And that's why I tell people, if you want to go full time, like, make a plan for it. Don't get fired by your job or quit and then start to think, okay, how am I going to make this work? Because that's not going to, because then you're going to make all your decisions based on money because you're desperate for it. Mm-hmm. And when you make all your decisions based on financial short-term things, you lose big time in the long term. That's kind of been my philosophy.
You forget about the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it seems like, you know, for you, it wasn't, with that quote, it wasn't the money, but it was the time
mm-hmm.
that you were looking for. Yep. So now it begs the question, what was that December to May, was it?
Mm-hmm.
What was that planning like?
I mean, for me, it was a little different because at that point, a big part of our video business was wedding stuff. So weddings, you know, booked far enough in advance that it's easy for me to at least look at a calendar and say, here's how much money I know I'm making from this point to this point because they're booked in advance. But it was about realizing weddings were not what I wanted to do forever. And so how can I start to build now while I have an income to make smart decisions so that I could actually build the other side of my business that wasn't just weddings? And that's why I liked that situation of having a full-time job and a salary, because I could make smart decisions over the course of 6 months rather than feeling like I have to take on every single thing possible because money is the most important issue. So to me, it just looked like, how can I make sure that I get as many weddings as possible, as many other jobs as possible, network with people as much as possible, and just build a business and a team that would allow me to scale. That's kind of how I looked at it.
Right. And then so you're running this videography company, mm-hmm. and you know, naturally you're creating all this video content,
mm-hmm.
and now I think you're doing something with that content, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you walk us through kind of some of the stuff you're doing to build your business using the content you make, and mm-hmm. how you're using that, and some of the strategy and thought process behind it?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, anything you do, whether you're, I think you were saying you run a co-work space or something like that, whether you do that, whether you're selling the best product in the world, whether you're building a business, at the end of the day, we're all fighting and desperately need like the attention of people before we have any chance of anything. It doesn't matter how good your product is, if you don't get it in front of the right people or show up, you have no chance of selling it. And so I firmly believe that everybody should be creating as much like content as they can around their business in any way so that people think of you when they think of what you're actually trying to sell. So to me, it's easy because I do video full time, that the video content that I can create, which is powerful because video content is so good, it's free for me to create. So I know that I have an advantage there. So I'm utilizing that in a big way. It's beneficial for companies to have as many videos as possible about what they do, but value-based videos over selling. I think it's easy to go into a business and just sell to people, and I think we all can agree that like we hate being sold to. That's why we hate commercials. That's why we hate half the stuff we see. So when you can create videos, my entire YouTube channel is just about the education of like literally documenting my like what I do as an entrepreneur. Like no selling whatsoever. I don't offer a product. I don't offer any sort of thing that they can pay for. And what that does is make me show up nonstop as the video person, so that when I come across businesses or when I post specific piece of content, I may use certain pieces of this for something on LinkedIn or something that is business based. I'll produce unique pieces of content in those platforms. And the more and more I show up in front of you, the more and more that when you need video, you'll think of me before you think of someone else. Because I keep showing up. You don't even know what I do. You just know that you keep seeing me on videos. And that's how all my biggest clients are now that I've gotten commercially have been simply the fact that people have watched vlogs that I've done or just random videos that show up constantly in LinkedIn for not even the topic that they are passionate about, but I just keep showing up to them so that when these big companies decided that they wanted to do some video work or build their own type of content, they saw me more often than they saw someone else. And that's why the content side of it's so popular and I think so effective, because when you don't sell to somebody and you provide a lot of value to them, funny things happen when you don't try to actually sell. Like you sell, which is weird. It's just a weird thing to kind of get in the mindset of. But some people can't do video. Some people are really good at writing. Then you should be writing a ton about what you do or about what makes you unique in a non-selling way. Like, write about random things. And it doesn't matter what it is. I think that if you're good on video, make videos. If you can't afford video, make them from your phone. Like, if you can write, write. If you can, like, there's a million ways that you can do it. But it's all about time. You have to have the time to do it, and that's where it gets people's asset.
So when you post on LinkedIn,
mm-hmm.
are you giving people any takeaway value right then? Like, hey, you might want to watch this because, even if it's got nothing to do with video making,
Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really aware of like what I post on different platforms. So like I never post the same video on Instagram as I do on LinkedIn and vice versa. So everything that I post to a LinkedIn environment is going to be relatable to a LinkedIn business environment. Now, it's not going to be anything about, you know, if you're interested in video, hire me. It's going to be things like, all, there might be a vlog that I'm talking to my audience about, like, do you hate your job? I may put like a 90-second video together with just that part of the vlog with the title on top of it that says, do you hate your job? And post that natively in LinkedIn because people on LinkedIn naturally see things. They watch videos without sound, so having subtitles. It's posting things that are unique that I know a LinkedIn audience can relate to. So I won't post a video on LinkedIn that's like, you know, a travel film that I may do on YouTube or Instagram. But I'll really specifically think about any time I finish a video from a day, if there's something, any piece of that that can be unique in LinkedIn, I'll put a unique edit just for LinkedIn in there. And I'll use it to my advantage that when we were starting to get into real estate video, for example, we don't do it anymore because we just weren't, wasn't our favorite thing to do. I connected with every realtor on LinkedIn, never wrote a single thing to them, never connected and say, my name is Scott, I do video. I connected with every single one of them. Then I found three that wanted to do by people that I knew. I said, I want to do, give me five free houses to do because I was going to put them all over LinkedIn, not selling it, but I knew who my connections were. So when I started to post videos of real estate homes that I felt like were done nicely, I knew who my connections were. They were realtors. And they were going to see these videos and say, who did them? And they reached out to me. So I never reached out to a single person selling them on that. I just knew who was watching my content.
Okay, but are you posting this on LinkedIn so that people can just like have some downtime while they're at work? Or, okay.
Yeah.
So they're just watching it with no purpose. They're just like, oh yeah, I want to see that house. Like that? Or
well,
are they supposed to be taking away something from that?
Well, keep in mind, from a, everything I create is intended to have some sort of value.
Okay,
now,
so in that example.
Right. So now value is entertainment, value is education, value is inspiration. Everyone's value is different. So people watch YouTube vloggers not because there's education, because they're really intrigued by just it's entertainment.
Right.
In a LinkedIn audience,
right.
them seeing a real estate video doesn't have to have any value because naturally that's all their brain thinks about. So when they see a house video start to play, they watch it because that's what they do. So then they see it and they're like, that looks good. Who did that? It gets them to contact me about that. So it's more about, on the real estate side, it's not as much providing a value as much as showing them the work that I know that they currently already pay for so that they think about me to actually hire it. Now, other people that aren't realtors, they may see the do you hate your job. That video may resonate with them because they do. So then they like it, they comment. LinkedIn's algorithm says, you liked my video and you commented. The next time I post something, you're going to see it again. And then you're going to see more and more. So once I get you to connect with things, regardless what it's for, LinkedIn's going to show you more of my stuff because you interacted. So that's kind of how. It's just like a big circle of when you create anything valuable, people will connect, and then it's a big circle of stuff. So like from a co-work space, like I think LinkedIn could be huge because a lot of people, business people are on there and not all of them have offices.
Right.
Like you could use that in a huge way.
Well, I am a writer actually, so I post things.
Yeah, it's great.
That I've written on there. But I always feel like I need to have some rationale for putting it on there.
Sure, but if you overthink that, you won't post either.
All right.
Because you'll always second guess, is this good? Like, let people decide if it's good.
To get it on there.
Yes.
Okay.
You post whatever you want. Let them to tell you it's no good.
Okay.
Rather than you sitting, you know how many people are probably sitting on amazing songs that they've never released as artists?
Yeah.
Who's to say they can let them decide if it's good? Mm-hmm. If you already count yourself out, you don't even let them read it, you lost before even trying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a good writer, your stuff may be good without you knowing it because you're your biggest critic.
It's not about the writing itself, it's about the topic.
What it's about, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the two biggest things you said were value and attention. It's not only getting people's attention so they remember you, but it's also, okay, he put something out that taught me something. mm-hmm. or that entertain,
yep.
et cetera, et cetera. And like I said, I could sit here and ask you a million questions, but since we have a nice group here, I want to see if anyone else has anything
yeah.
they'd like to...
Yeah.
Well, when I think about what I'm going on something for, you know, we were just talking about this today. I'm a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finish a therapy session, you know, we laugh because we're like, I want to watch videos of little kitties, like, bouncing around. Like, you just don't want to, like,
yeah.
do anything very thoughtful.
It's an escape.
And sometimes when I go on LinkedIn, there's a lot of things that I read on LinkedIn. I think of this one article that someone sent it to me, someone that I know sent it to me. The only reason I read it, I'm not into business. The only reason I read the article, because it was about Disney World, and I love Disney World, but it was all a business article about Disney World, and it was a fascinating article,
mm-hmm.
but I would have never read that article
mm-hmm.
if it just hadn't been like the Disney thing that caught my eye. I was
mm-hmm.
like, oh, this looks like really good. But most of the stuff that I looked at LinkedIn are just about things that catch my eye that are interesting on some kind of value level. Like if you wrote something about your office space, that was an article about why would anybody use that? I would probably read that article and just be like, yeah, why would anybody use that? You know, it's more like about like, what is it that you do and not like you're selling it.
No, what she could write about though a ton would be like why it's the biggest difficulties of working from home, why you should think about leasing a space, have interviews with all these people of entrepreneurs saying like, why did you used to work from home and don't anymore? Why did you used to have an office but not anymore? Provide value that is essentially like, why does she talk so much about working from home? Oh, because she has a co-work space. So you create education, like interview all these entrepreneurs
right.
that work from home, take 10 minutes to have a conversation with them and write it, and then your article is written well, because you write well, about why I feel it's super important to not work from home. And it's not about her saying, now they use my co-work space. It's about getting you, the entrepreneur, to be like, yeah, I hate working from home too, but offices are so expensive. But wait a second. Oh, that's why she's talking about this. She has a co-work space.
So that's right at the cusp of like making them, converting them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll post other things like we did, you know, like the Stone Soup story. We did a Stone Salad,
mm-hmm.
rock salad, where we all brought stuff, fixings for the salad.
Mm-hmm.
So it made a beautiful, colorful picture, and I posted that on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just basically saying, hey, this is something that happens here.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Anything's better than nothing, for sure. And the more and more, and like from your standpoint, too, with like the therapy side of it, the stories you hear, the things that you help people through, you could write about for days or post videos about for days. You don't have to name people.
Yeah.
You just talk about like if you literally posted a video every single day of like what was your biggest takeaway that you had from one of your sessions in some ways, and then you titled it correctly of like how to deal with, I don't know, whatever you talked about. You talked about a lot of things, but sure. Whatever it was, and that was, and every single day, it was like, what's your first name?
Patty.
90 seconds with Patty. And it was each day's like, here's what I talked with someone about today, and here's where we made a breakthrough. Because it, like, and it just keeps making you, the video can be valuable because it can reach someone that is dealing with the same thing. But then they're like, yeah, that really resonated with me. I would actually like to go deeper. And they reach out to Patty, and then it just so happens, oh, Patty's a therapist, and I can pay her to do this in a deeper way. It's all about you create content around what you do enough that you can give everything away for free. People still will pay at the end of the day because they realize if you're giving so much good stuff away for free, how much better would it be if you get one-on-one time with the person? One of the biggest things I sell through my YouTube channel is like one-on-one consulting with people, not because I ever asked for it, but because I talk about a topic of video, and then they reach out to me and they're like, do you offer like one-on-one stuff because I have a question that's kind of about that? I essentially answered the question in 100 different videos, but they still like their question answered. And same thing with you. Like you could write so much or post videos. And the reason videos are good is because videos, whether they're even relatable or not, in LinkedIn, when they're posted natively, watch how much faster you stop on your feed when video is there because it starts to play. it gets your attention more than an article does.
Yeah.
So that's why even if you write a good article, you should do a little video. If you're someone that comes on camera from your phone, it doesn't even matter. Summarizing what the conversation's about just to get people's attention to actually click the article to listen to it further. Because video works more than anything. Because less people post videos. In every 10 posts, you may see one video.
Oh, okay. So I'd like to have a video of me saying, hey, we had this fantastic event today. Check it out.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Or talk about what you just wrote about, but then let them read the longer version of it. But it's just so you show up. And when I say natively, natively means like you upload to LinkedIn when you want to do that.
Yeah,
don't upload to YouTube and post a link. Don't upload to Facebook. Upload directly to these platforms so that they play natively, meaning when you're scrolling, they start playing. And because people naturally will watch videos of a person talking because they want to know what they're actually talking about. And if it immediately jumped in was like, and you know, part of being an entrepreneur that's so hard is when do you decide to, you know, get a space or lease a space? This is something I just talked with entrepreneur Scott about today. Read this article if you're interested in it. Like, and you're not selling them something, but you're positioning yourself as someone that is in that market. Like, I think they would be effective. And it's the same thing with the therapy side of things.
Let me just ask you a question here because this will put a lot of context. Because you keep saying patience. When you posted your first video, how many likes did you get?
I think I got 3 or 4 views on it. Yeah.
And how many views are you getting on a video now?
My channel gets 270,000 a month. And it's gotten 2.6 million in the last year. But literally the reason it gets that now is because I could care less about views. Like, that's the other thing I tell people. This is the best advice I give to you being young. Like, and I have a video on this. Watch this video, shameless plug. It's called Stop Chasing Likes. But funny thing happens when you really don't care what other people say, in a good way. Not like I don't listen to the opinion of everyone, but meaning like when you don't worry about people liking you and you just realize that like kindness is more important than anything, a funny thing happens when you really don't care about things most people care about, like likes and views and approval of other people. The amount of people that buy stuff just to get people to like them that they don't even like themselves is ridiculous. Like, people drive these. I posted a tweet not too long ago, like, remember that the Ferrari you see is probably leased and he's driving home to a place he doesn't own to impress people he doesn't like. That's like the story of people. Like, we do all this stuff to get the approval of people that we don't even like. It just doesn't even make any sense.
Okay, so speaking of that, it seems like several people I know who are big-time networkers spend a lot of time going to events, hosting events, connecting people through Facebook, introducing people and all that, almost like it's a full-time job. But I don't know how much actual business they get from that. So it seems like to me, like especially if you have a family too, isn't there some point where you want to say, hey, this is enough. I've got a bunch of clients right now. More will be coming in because this whole thing is set in motion. Maybe I don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you have to decide. You know, I tell people to work 100 hours a week when they're building a job if they're not happy with what they're currently doing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're insanely happy and you make $10,000 a year, then don't work anymore. Mm-hmm. It's the people that I feel like I really have the biggest impact on are the people that try to use like excuses of why they can't do what they want. Like, if you're super happy with what you're doing and your work-life balance is amazing and you make exactly the amount of money you need to survive and you're fine, like, don't work a lot of hours. you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Too many people, I think, get confused that like when I preach certain things or certain people preach like hustle and work really hard to do this or do that, only if you're not happy. Like, I work a lot now, not because I'm not happy, because I really enjoy doing it. But if I didn't enjoy doing it, I wouldn't work a lot.
It's easy to get caught up with thinking of a certain dollar amount as opposed to a certain lifestyle. You know, like you said, you could be making $1 million, but living a life where you can't work on your hobbies or spend time with your family. So is it okay to take a pay cut for yourself and make $85,000, $90,000 a year, but have time to do all that other stuff. Really, really is.
Or way less. Don't be insanely fancy, and you can live on cheaper and be even more happy. People just get things backwards, and then people make great salaries, and then they live on that salary, so then they feel broke because they don't have enough money to live more, and then they're really mad because they can't just settle down and get a decent job because they can't afford to take the pay cut because they lived for $150. Like, just if you aren't fancy with your money, or you're smart with money, you don't need to make a lot of money at the end of the day. Yeah, the cost of living goes up, but at the end of the day, if you don't have debt, which is the first thing I recommend for anyone going into business, like, try to not have debt, because then you don't need to make as much money to survive. That's what I think. It's just, yeah. But yeah, you don't have to, you know, going back to your question, you don't have to work a ton. If you're at a place where you don't need more clients, like, that's awesome. Like, take on as many as you want, or as little as you
that's
want.
That's what I am on the writing side. The co-work, we can bring in some.
Yep.
Members.
Yep.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks a lot for being here. We really appreciate it.